Night was coming on, and it was cold, and I was terribly hungry. I'd finished all the bread I had in my sack, and my gut still ached for more. Then I noticed my friend, a shepherd like me, about to throw away a crust he didn't want. So I said, "Throw me the crust, friend." And he did throw it to me, but it landed between us in the mud where the sheep had mucked it up. But I grabbed it anyway, and I stuffed it, mud and all, into my mouth. And as I was eating it, I saw myself. It was as if I was not only a man eating, but a man watching the man eating. And I thought, this is who I am. I am a man who eats muddy bread. And I thought, the bread is very good. And I thought, the mud is very good too. So I opened my muddy man's mouth full of bread, and I yelled to my friends, "By God, it's good, brothers." And they thought I was a terrible fool, but they saw what I meant. We saw everything that night. Everything. Everything. Can I make you understand? I wonder, have you ever had this happen to you? You had been working hard all day. You're dog tired, bone tired, so you call it quits for a while. You slump down under a tree or against a rock or something and just sit there in a daze for half an hour or a million years, I don't know. And all this time, your eyes are wide open, looking straight ahead someplace. But they're so tired and glassy, they don't see a thing. Nothing. You could be dead for all you notice. Then, little by little, you begin to come to. Then your eyes begin to come to. And all of a sudden, you find out you've been looking at something the whole time, except it's only now you really see it. One of the ewe lambs, maybe, with its foot caught under a rock, or the moon scorching a hole through the clouds. It was there all the time, and you were looking at it all the time, but you didn't see it till just now. That's how it was this night, like finally coming to. Not things coming out of nowhere that had never been there before, but things just coming into focus that had been there always, and such things. The air wasn't just emptiness anymore. It was alive, brightness everywhere, dipping and wheeling like a flock of birds. And what you always thought was silence stopped being silent and turned into the beating of wings, thousands and thousands of them, only not just wings as you came to more, but voices, high, wild like trumpets, the words I could never remember later, but something like what I had yelled with my mouth full of bread. By God, it's good, brothers. The crust, the mud, everything, everything. Oh, well. If you think we were out of our minds, you're right, of course. And do you know it's just like being out of jail? I can see us still. The squint-eyed one who always complained of sore feet. The little sawed-off one who could outswear a Roman. The young one who blushed like a girl. We all tore off across that muddy field like drunks at a fair. And drunks we were, crazy drunk, splashing through a sea of wings and moonlight and silvery wool of sheep. Was it night? Was it day? Did our feet touch the ground? Shh. Shh. "You'll wake up my guest," said the innkeeper we met coming the other direction with his arms full of wood. And when we got to the shed out back, one of the three foreigners who were there held a finger to his lips. At the eye of a storm, you know, there's no wind. Nothing moves. Nothing breathes. Even silence keeps silent. So hush now. Hush. There he is. You see him. You see him. By Almighty God, brothers, open your eyes. Listen.
If it had been me, I'd have done it differently. If it had been me, I would have gone with a more reliable crew. You know, I'd have wanted the elite, the top of the class, the varsity team, the special forces unit, the best of the best. Not this ragtag group of misfits and screw-ups and shady characters that we get in our story here. Now sure, we like to romanticize them. We like to romanticize the shepherds and the animals and the angels, the quiet shepherds standing in the background, the cuddly sheep, a whole band of little cherubs sitting on their cloud plucking their hearts. That's not the story, though. That's not the way it happened. If you pull back the curtain a little bit on our crazy fantasies that we have, we get something much more raw. Something much more unvarnished, something more sketchy a little, something more real. See, these shepherds weren't the quiet types that would sit back in the corner. They weren't the wallflowers in our little manger scene that don't say very much. No, they're foul-mouthed, and they're jovial, and they're fun-loving jokesters who have a penchant for good drink and muddy bread. They're rough around the edges. They're known in town as those who might swindle you, or at least they wouldn't bat an eye at lying to you if they thought it served their purpose. They were hardy men who spent their days out in the field, and their sunburned and leathery skin stretched across lean muscles, the smell of sweat and grass and dust making them a little more like a gym locker room than a ladies' sitting room. They made their living protecting the herds, fighting off predators, getting those stubborn sheep to behave and to stay in line, get back with the others. They weren't the kind of guys you wanted to take home to meet your mama, in other words. And what about these angels? What about these angels? These, you know, cherubs on a cloud, right? They were not that. They were definitely not that. Angels were fierce. Mighty, terrifying messengers of God. You know, almost every time that an angel appears in Scripture, the first words out of their mouth is, "Don't be afraid." Because sure enough, everybody who saw one was terrified when they saw these angels. They were heavenly warriors. And so the air is coming alive with the flapping of wings and these angelic choirs that would make any earthly choir look like a Charlie Brown Christmas special. This heavenly choir that just filled the air and filled the ears of the shepherds. You know they had to be asking the question, what are they here for? Are they coming with God's vengeance? Are these angels coming to smite us shepherds in the field because we've done something that's angered God? Are they coming to wage war against the Romans, these people who are occupying us and who are oppressing us? The shepherds didn't know, so they cowered in fear. They trembled before these awesome, mighty creatures of heaven. And once they arrived at the stable, what did they find there? Well, they found animals braying, mooing, bleating, noise. It weren't no silent night, is what I'm saying. Stalls with muck and dirt and feed and smell of all sorts. There was dust and there was mud and there was sweat and there was blood. It was messy. They found parents who were unwed. A scandal for their time. A scandal. They found these two parents who are unprepared, so young and so probably idealistic and unsure. holding this new life. Parents that were unknown. They were simple peasants. Who are you? Who's your mom? Who's your dad? Who are these people? They're nobody. They found a baby. Cooing. Crying. Maybe even wailing. A manger. Feeding trough being used for a bed. The simple bands of cloth used to wrap the baby in. You know the thought had to cross their mind. This is a king? This is the king? God who has come to earth in such a form that he was dependent on his mother to nourish him at her breast? God who has created all things dependent on earthly parents to change his dirty diapers, to support his neck when they held him up, to care for him, to shelter him, to teach him, to cuddle him. It's the exact opposite of what I would have done. The exact opposite. I would have wanted the best hospitals and the best doctors and the best nurses and the best medicine and the best room, private room, of course, and the best clothes for the baby and the best PR firm to go out and to make sure that we got the message out there in the best possible way. But maybe that's exactly the point. If it were up to me, he would have come for people just like me. But he didn't. He didn't. He didn't show up for just middle-class white Americans. He didn't show up for only those, the haves. He didn't come for only the powerful or the well-educated or the well-connected or the well-nourished. He didn't come only for the trustworthy and the righteous and the deserving. He came for all of us. Rich or poor, black or white or yellow or brown or red, educated or not, powerful or not, connected or not. He came for all of us. The story of the shepherds reminds me that this Christmas day that we celebrate, this birth of Christ that we remember, we lift up, it's a day of contrast. It's a day of contrast. There's sketchy shepherds and glorious angelic beings. There's dirty, smelly animals and this beautiful baby. There's terrified shock, and there's awe-filled joy, all at the same time. I hope this year, as we come to the manger, as we come to Christmas, as we come to celebrate this birth, as we come to remember Christ, that we too might be filled with that kind of awe, that kind of wonder, that we might just overflow with joy at the Savior who has been born for us. But not just born for us, but born to us. He was given to Mary to care for, to nourish, to love. And in the same way, do we receive that Spirit of Christ to care for, to nourish, to love, to grow, to let it come to maturity in us, so that we're not just infants in Christ, but that we allow Christ to fully mature us into his followers, his disciples. I hope that as we approach the manger this year, that we might dare to run through the fields, drunk with the joy of the Holy Spirit, coursing through our bodies, coursing through our minds, coursing through our spirits, coursing through our families, through our church, through our community, being drunk on who God is, on the joy of the season. And as we proclaim to the world this truth once again, Christ is born. Christ is born. The Messiah is here. The night is over. The light of the world. The light of the world. pray today. Our Lord Jesus, we recognize, Lord, that sometimes we make this celebration so dignified, so clean, so sanitized with our pretty decorations and our candles and our solemn services. God, I just pray that your Spirit would come down and descend upon us and fill us with the joy that those shepherds must have felt. After getting over the terror of the appearance of the angels, the joy that they felt at knowing that they were the first ones to hear the message and that they were entrusted with that message to take it to the world to proclaim that Christ has been born. The Messiah is here. God, we have that message. We have been given the same one. So let us be filled with the same joy. And let us not be afraid to let it be raw and dirty and messy the way it works out. Because we're all still works in progress. But help us, Lord, to present ourselves to you, to nurture the Spirit that has been placed within our hearts, that it might continue to grow and make us into fully mature followers of Jesus Christ, the King who has come to set us free. We pray all these things in His name. Amen.